Welcome to The Scene, presented by The Fragrant Mushroom in Sparta. I'm your host, Emily Newman, and today I am chatting with Haven of Haven's Wardenclyffe. Haven specializes in custom woodworking and bringing imagination to life. Hi, Haven. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, dear.
I'm so glad you're here. So I found you on Facebook because I know your wife and she shared some of your work and I was like, whoa, who's this? I've seen pictures of you, but I didn't know that you had this. Yeah, I didn't know you had all this creativity inside. So I looked at your page. I was like, dang, I've got to have this guy on the show. So I saw some of your tables and I was super impressed. It looks like you're doing something that I haven't really seen around here. So tell me a little bit about what it is that you do.
So the process you're talking about, this all started when I do believe it was the very first project I ever did when I opened my furniture company about 7 years ago. I had a gentleman who is ex-retired military police, and he kind of had the air of regal. He was more regal than, he was not like a cool old guy. He was very well put together. He was a gentleman. And he was talking to me about, he had seen some epoxy shelving. It was glow in the dark, epoxy run through wood. And he was like, I think I want this in my basement to put stuff on. And one thing that I do is tell my customers no a lot. The way they see something in their head and the way I know it would work out is just, I know it wouldn't work out. So this guy was saying he wanted this stuff done. And I said, well, let me play with that idea and see what I can come up with. Cause I don't think that would go really well in like a college dorm room with a glow in the dark epoxy and stuff, or in a really modern house. But this gentleman lives in a cabin. And like I said, he's got the air of regality. That's not a word, but let's make it one.
Yeah.
So I decided to go with metal, and I really wanted to do the same process with pouring epoxy through wood, but with molten aluminum. So any normal person would maybe go find a metallurgist. Metallurgist? Mm-hmm. Is that a word? Am I just making up words? Yeah, metallurgy.
Yeah. But is it metallurgy person?
Yeah, one of those people. Imagination to life. That's what we do. If you can imagine the word,
just then you can say, we're artists, so we create things, right. So we create words.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So anyway, a normal person would go find a smart person to do that. I didn't. I went to a junkyard and found some big hunks of metal and made a foundry in my backyard after zero research. And I started melting down aluminum cans. And then quickly realized that was not going to work because I went from a giant container of aluminum to like a small muffin tin of aluminum. So I had to go find a better source, but I started just melting it down and doing experiments, and it worked out. I came up with this process of pouring molten aluminum into the voids in wood. And then most recently, the newest iteration of that is kind of an epoxy river table idea, but with the metal instead.
It's really unique.
It's something.
I bet you were really excited when you figured that out.
Oh yeah. There were a lot of emotions, a lot of pain. I poured some down my leg. I burned myself so many times, and I'm still learning. I've only recently met, I don't know if I can say names on here, but a professor at Tech.
Yeah, you can say names.
Mr. Vondra.
Just don't say anything bad. You could.
I did. So I did some work at Mr. Vondra's house. They're a wonderful couple. And I charged him a $3 fee for being salty. So
you added that to the commission.
Yeah. Since you said don't say anything bad, I feel like I had to say that.
Okay.
No, they're a wonderful couple. But he is the professor over the foundry. And so I've actually recently gotten in touch with him, and he's kind of reminding me how dumb I am. He says a bunch of smart stuff, and he goes through all this stuff with temperatures and how stuff works. And I'm just, yeah, so can I pour it into wood? But it's working out. I'm learning a lot along the way, and this is, that's what I do. And anytime I find something that I want to learn, I think a lot of artists are this way. And I don't know if I consider myself an artist. I guess I should, only recently.
I considered you an artist because I had you on the show.
Well, that's good. I guess really recently I want to be that. I started out in construction and doing a whole bunch of other stuff.
Coming up, we'll continue our discussion as The Scene continues here on Light Rock 95.9. Welcome to The Scene, presented by The Fragrant Mushroom in Sparta. I'm your host, Emily Newman, and today we are chatting with Jesse Filateo of Filateo Illustrations, and he specializes in graphic design and illustrations. And we're happy to have you on the show. You're also a student at Tech right now, correct?
I am. It's my senior year.
Wonderful. Well, I'm happy to have you here. And I found you through Instagram. I also found you because you did one of the first Friday art parties.
I did. I did them for all of 2019.
Yeah. How did that go?
Pretty great. It was really fun.
So what are some of the tools that you work with when you create, like when you're painting?
Sure. And also back to what you were mentioning. So in painting, you know, the brush sets and et cetera, but for graphic design, for the most part, what I usually do, so much of it is on the computer, and there's sort of a rule that a lot of us kind of go by, which is if you can do it for real, then do it for real. So if there's anything that I can be tactile with in a graphic design piece I'm working on or a branding or project, I always start with sketches. Mm. And just having that tactile, you know, pencil and paper thing is such a, yeah, it just connects you more to what you're doing, you know, especially with that disconnect of looking at a screen all day.
Mm-hmm.
So any way I can like get my hands physically dirty, because we are like literally the cleanest art of the art majors, because we don't have to deal with anything.
Yeah.
We're essentially in an office building.
Yeah.
So yeah, I would say like being able to work with pencil and paper, but for the most part, I'm working on the computer.
Yeah. And are you, that was an oil painting that you did, right? Are you,
right.
So do you prefer oils over acrylics and watercolor?
I'm going to say so, yeah. It's my first time working. So that was with my first painting class. So first time working with oils, and I used to resent it a lot, but mostly because of the learning curve that it took for me. Because I'd you know, grown up with acrylics, so they were cheaper. Before that was watercolor. So it was like a new sort of medium for me to sort of grapple with.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, it's so much more satisfying.
It is.
To play with.
Something about it.
Yeah.
Not exactly sure why it feels so good to use oil, but it does. It's I just like how you can lay a layer down and then you can come back like the next day and really work into that layer and build your color. You know,
that was the thing for me. That was I'm an instant gratification kind of guy. Mm-hmm. I gotta work on it like right now.
Yeah.
And it takes a little bit of patience waiting for some things to like dry out and wait.
But think about like too, I think a lot of us like will get real involved in a project and you don't want to pull away from it. But then you pull away from it and you give yourself some time, like say you've got to give it some time to dry and maybe it's a day, and then you come back with a fresh set of eyes, a fresh perspective. And I think that can be actually be a good thing.
No, I think you're absolutely right.
Yeah.
For that self-portrait, I was staring at myself for, you know, like 6-7 hours at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And you already have this idea of how you look in your head. But once you step away from it, it starts to look like you're looking at a different person.
Yeah.
And that helps you like pick out what you really look like and who you really are.
That's neat. I think I'm going to do a self-portrait. I did one once, but I think it'd be fun to do one now and to kind of express your feelings in a different way. I like that. How would you brand your style of art? Or would you brand it?
You know, I think stylistically, I'm an illustrator, so I like figures and I like sort of heavy inking things, so
mm-hmm.
things with really defined lines and contours, and you call it cell shading, like blocking out colors within those lines I've drawn. But like doing graphic design specifically, it's like, I think you're really fortunate to do something that you're known for, or people hire you because you're known for doing mm-hmm. a certain thing. But for the most part, graphic designer has to be really good at doing someone else's vision and someone else's style. So I like to pride myself in being able to apply myself to a client. But for the most part, I think the thing that defines my art is I always like to have what I call Easter eggs within a piece. So like for the first Friday posters I did for Art Round Tennessee.
Are you the one who does those?
I did. I did them for 2019. There's a new artist for 2020.
Oh, so. I love yours. Well, I mean, I'm sure they're going to be great.
No, they're great.
No, I liked yours a lot. I'm like, those are so cool.
Yeah, shout out to Hannah Mansky. She's the next artist doing those and illustrating those posters.
Sweet.
So we're switching back and forth with styles. But within those posters I did, I like having little tidbits and nuggets of humor, like visually. And at the most, you'll get like a like an exhale from your nose or like a little chuckle.
Yeah.
But like in the first one, I had sort of I set it up as like the Last Supper scene, and they're all you know sharing yes. in this alleyway. But at the bottom in the corner, there's this little girl playing with this stray dog. And little nuggets like that. There's one I did recently for Hicks. One of the bartenders is popping his head up behind the bar stool, the bar table. And it's like those little elements like that of humor that I think define who I am.
We're going to wrap up. Where can we find your work?
Filoteo Illustration on Instagram. I've also got Facebook that's not as up to date, but Instagram is the best way to get
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Yeah. We're Instagram is where it's at, right? Yeah. All right. Well, we appreciate you coming out today. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. Welcome to The Scene, presented by The Fragrant Mushroom in Sparta. I'm your host, Emily Newman, and today I am chatting with Haven of Haven's Wardenclyffe. Haven specializes in custom woodworking and bringing imagination to life on the show.
Well, that's good. I guess really recently I want to be that. Started out in construction and doing a whole bunch of other stuff.
Coming up, we'll continue our discussion as The Scene continues here on Light Rock 95.9. So how did you get your start in the arts?
Well, the start in the arts, I think, is just now beginning, if I'm going to be honest. Like I say, I started out long ago doing construction and cabinetry and flooring and all the boring stuff that just needs to be done. But then more recently, I've kind of decided that I really want to do art and just make pretty stuff.
When you were a child, were you fascinated with art of any kind? You know, like not so much paintings, but maybe, you know, sculptures or woodworking?
I've always loved drawing. I've never been good at it. But yeah, I mean, just creating something. Mm-hmm. Legos, so yeah. many Legos. So yeah, anything I can create or build, I just love.
Fabulous. Would you say that living in Tennessee and the culture here has influenced your craft and the way that you compose your work?
To an extent. I've moved around a lot of my life. I've lived in a lot of different states and all over the place. And each place does kind of influence you in some way. And I think the cumulative amount of all of that has kind of got me to where I am now.
Mm-hmm.
I draw on several different, I mean, we've got the internet now, yeah. so I'm not limited to craftsman style, which I love craftsman style, but there's an entire world of stuff. So I am influenced with this, but I'm not bound, I guess, by where I am.
Well, like when you're driving around and you're taking a walk and you see a beautiful tree. Or
yes.
something, is that inspiring to you?
It is. So a woodworker is going to see a beautiful tree differently than anyone else because we're looking at, well, there are different types. You can see a really straight tree and be surprised and excited because you're going to have some straight lumber. Or you can see a gnarled, beaten up old tree and you get a different kind of inspiration, mm-hmm. just an artistic idea.
Yeah.
A fleeting idea.
So when you create, what are some of your favorite tools to use?
Oh my goodness. I have a very large shop filled with so many tools, and I use them all.
Yeah.
the top you saw most recently, I was going to do, and I forgot, I always have great ideas and then I never do them, but I was going to post a picture of just the top with every tool that I used on that top, and it would have covered the entire top of the table. And more.
You said you were going to post a picture.
I was going to do that. Well, I never took the picture.
Why not?
Because I'm bad at doing that. Social media is rough for me. I prefer to hide in the shop and not have contact with the outside world.
I know it's tricky because I'm that same way. Mm-hmm. I think I sometimes am forcing myself to post on social media,
mm-hmm.
but it's necessary because it is. You if you want to get your product out there, you gotta show people what you're doing and not just let them guess.
You're also I've been called out for this in the past too. You're also not supposed to like. Talk down on yourself.
Yeah, you do that sometimes.
I do. Well, but I would rather be honest. I would rather my work speak for itself and still be honest about what I am and who I am.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of having someone who just says, oh, I can do everything and I'm great, and then their work is mediocre, I would rather my work speak for itself, and I'd just be honest and be like, I'm learning this. I'm figuring it out. I'm literally making it up as I go.
More of our conversation is coming up on the scene here on Light Rock 95.9. Welcome to The Scene, presented by The Fragrant Mushroom in Sparta. I'm your host, Emily Newman, and today we're chatting with Bryce McDonald, the producing director and CEO of the Cumberland County Playhouse. And I'm actually here at the Cumberland County Playhouse, and I have Bryce with me today. Hi, Bryce. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing excellent. So I want to talk to you about how you got your start in theater, and then we'll touch base on how you got to where you are now.
Well, I grew up in Overton County, so this is home for me. And I am the baby of three, and my older brothers were a football star and a basketball star, and I like to sing and dance in the front yard. So I got involved in church plays and school stuff and thought, this is what I want to do, but how in the world am I going to do it here in Tennessee? And in the fourth grade, I took a school trip to come see Annie here at the Cumberland County Playhouse. I could still tell you the seat that I sat in that theater, and it changed my life. I found my tribe. I found people that I just felt like, this is where I fit in. I don't really fit in anywhere else, but I feel at home here. So I made it my goal to do everything I could to get here. So I saw every show possibly. I drove my parents crazy to bring me here. I begged when I was able to drive at 16 that this is the only place I wanted to drive to. I wouldn't have to ride the bus. I would ride the bus to school if I could drive on the weekends to see shows. And then at 18, I kept pushing and pushing to get in here, and I got an internship audition, and they were kind enough to cast me in a show, and I started dancing. For the company, I was a tumbler. I could do gymnastics when I was younger, so there was a need for that in a couple of productions, so that was kind of my in. And I met Abby Crabtree, who was the former, one of the directors and former artistic director here at the Playhouse. And she took a liking to me and brought me in, and I started doing shows, and then I stayed for 10 years and had the best possible training you could ever have, because it was immediate and hands-on. It wasn't in a book. It wasn't like, well, here's what could happen. It was like, oh, it's happening. You better be able to fix it. And I went on from performing to stage management, assisting the producer, because I started doing stage management because I got hurt in a show, and I couldn't do the show anymore, but I could assist backstage, and I fell in love with that and thought, I don't really want to perform anymore. This is where I want to do. And from that management, the producing director said, I need an assistant. Why don't you come and do some of that stuff with me? And I said, sure, and jumped in and just fell in love with it. It was like, this is what I want to do. I want to be behind the scenes to create the art that changes lives, because it changed my life. And so my rule of thumb is that in every audience, there is another Bryce. There's another fourth grader waiting to find that tribe, waiting to find someone to say, I get you, and I can bring you in. And so that's kind of, you know, I spent 10 years here from 18 until 29, living the best life, going through all the emotions you go through in that those 20s, learning so much, and decided I wanted to move to New York and spread my wings and give it a try. And so I moved to New York with $2,000 in my pocket and a U-Haul full of stuff, and subletted an apartment from a friend, and was blessed enough with what I had learned here and made the right connections. I spent 10 years in New York working on Broadway and off-Broadway as a stage manager. If you would have told fourth grade me that I would be at the Tony Awards because a show I was working on was nominated, I would have told you I was crazy. But I was fortunate enough that that happened to me three times, and met some of the best friends of my life while working here. And then the producing director at the time, Jim Crabtree, who was a mentor and a father figure to me, said, I'm ready to think about my retirement. I want to put you and a team into place to suggest to the board, and I would love for you to come home. Will you give up New York and come home? And I said, without a doubt.
Wow, that's really amazing. Well, thank you so much, Bryce, producing director and CEO of the Cumberland County Playhouse. Welcome to The Scene, presented by The Fragrant Mushroom in Sparta. I'm your host, Emily Newman, and today I am chatting with Haven of Haven's Wardenclyffe. Haven specializes in custom woodworking and bringing imagination to life. If somebody commissions you to do a piece of furniture, what is a step-by-step process that you go through to create?
No, so the creative process in designing a piece, I want to get to know the person as best I can without being creepy and living in their house. So, like the ability, people don't often have time for this, but the ability to go sit down and have a cup of coffee or something is great. And just talk about literally anything except what you want. I just want to get a feel for the person, music taste, what movies they like, the style their house is in, anything I can get, just kind of a frame of reference for that person.
An energetic scan.
Yeah. Yeah. We can call it that. See, when you said that the first time, I thought you meant like a really excited viewing. But not, you mean like a scan of their energy, like their, okay.
Yeah, their essence.
That makes so much more sense.
And the whole thing with the cup of coffee, grabbing a cup of coffee, I tend to do that a lot with my people. I want to get to know them before I do a piece for them. Okay, that's beautiful. Yeah. We're on to something.
I like to sit down with them and kind of get to know them so that as I'm building the piece, I can kind of craft it towards that image I have of them. Because that's the best I had to go with.
Mm-hmm.
So I do so many different things. It depends on what the project is. But yeah, once I figure out the person, then it's often material finding if that's part of the project. And that can be really fun.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to track down, cause I don't have steady sources per se. I have sources all through Nashville and this area and all over the place. So I have to track down everything I do. And there's a lot of time that goes into that, finding the proper piece. I don't just have a Walmart in my shop. That I can go grab stuff from.
That's interesting.
Yeah, yeah. That's really the beginning part is the only part that makes sense. The rest is like a manic rabbit trying to find their tea. Pictures of Alice in Wonderland. And yeah, that's what the inside of my shop looks like.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
Wait a minute. It was a rabbit. The Mad Hatter was.
Yeah.
They were both, I guess they were all mad.
It was
we're all mad here.
The whole movie was insane.
I'm not calling you mad.
You can.
Okay.
Feeling mad today. It was when I woke up. I felt a little like, what's the word?
Irate. Incensed.
There's a different word though that I'm looking for.
Oh.
When I remember it.
Okay.
I'll, you know.
Just shout it out.
Yeah.
I had that same issue with the word acronym.
Yeah.
A few days ago. I couldn't think of it. My buddy texted me at like midnight.
You're like, yes,
I can sleep.
I can
now.
Go to bed, rest peacefully. So, then we create the piece, and do you sketch it out first, or
sometimes no one wants to see my drawings and my sketchings, so they're strictly for my eyes only.
Okay.
I sometimes get other people to sketch it out if that's necessary. I generally have a pretty good image in my head. And then I try to make that happen.
Gotcha.
Yeah. And it's just, I think because I don't have any one, I was never trained by one person to do this. The training I have is from just years of hodgepodgery. So I don't have a one direct route that I go. I just kind of bounce around crazily.
And then once it's finished, and then it's off to its new home.
Yes, it goes away, and hopefully, I don't see it again for a few weeks.
For a few weeks, what? Till they send you a picture of it and let you know how much they love it.
Yes, well, that hopefully happens pretty early on because I do love once a piece is sent off to its new home. I love getting pictures of it in the new home, in its new space, in its new environment, and then that can kind of click for me. How well I did the first part of what did you say? Rapid energy scan.
Energy scan.
Yeah, yeah.
Energetic scan.
I forgot what I was saying.
It's all right. I'm here.
Oh, but if it clicks, yeah. So if I did well on that, then it will sit well in the picture that they send me. That's my goal.
Fabulous.
Yeah.
Well, where can people find your work?
I am on Facebook, Havens Wardenclyffe. And that's it.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's really all you need these days.
I have a website that's in development, and it has been in development for about 6 months. I don't think it'll ever be finished. So there's that.
It's pending. Dot, 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 dot. Yeah. Any Instagram?
Oh, I do have Instagram. I don't know what the name is though. It's probably Haven of Wardenclyffe. I told you I'm not good at social media. I've got an Insta. I think I even have a Twitter.
Whoa.
Yeah. But I've never done anything on there.
That's fancy.
I would just go to Facebook. Facebook is the way. I'll make sure there's a link to the Instagram in case. Oh, well, but if they don't do Facebook.
Most people do. And if not, you can always find somebody on Facebook, yeah. Even if you don't have a Facebook. So.
Correct. Yeah, well, just do that.
Awesome.
I will. Okay, so one more thing.
Yeah.
And to where you could find my stuff, I will have a storefront opening in the future.
Yeah.
Yeah. My shop space, I can give you the address, but don't come there. It's just a shop. But in the future, there will be a storefront at this address.
Fabulous.
Yeah. So I'll make a big announcement on Facebook when it opens. It's about an 1,800 square foot.
Ooh, that's exciting.
Yeah.
Well, then now people know how to find you on Facebook, and they've gotten to learn a little bit about you today. So yeah. Have I.
Yeah.
So.
Sorry.
I appreciate you coming out. Thank you so much.
It has been a joy.
Awesome. Welcome to The Scene, presented by The Fragrant Mushroom in Sparta. I'm your host, Emily Newman, and today we're chatting with Stephanie Barnes of Barnes Wearables and Interiors, and she specializes in fibers and metals. And we're so happy to have you on the show today, Stephanie.
Thank you for having me.
So I found you on Instagram, and I'm really glad I did because yeah. I was super impressed with your work, so much so that I wanted to have you on the show.
Well, thank you so much.
And then I looked at your Etsy profile, and mm-hmm. I saw you had over 1,000 five-star reviews.
Yeah, 5,000 sales and over 1,000 five-star reviews.
Like super duper impressive. So I'm gonna get to that. But first, I want to just get kind of the rundown on your business. What exactly is it that you do?
Well, I'm a working artist. I do a lot of different things, but primarily I'm an online retailer and I sell a lot of metalwork, jewelry. That uses stamping techniques and a lot of natural stones. And then I also do like custom window treatments, and I'm getting into making sustainable fiber products for your house, like linen napkins,
nice.
Hand-dyed. Yeah.
Wow, you have fun.
Yeah, I really do, yeah.
Yeah, you look like you have a good time. And so how old were you when you took an interest in the arts?
I mean, super, super young. I have a grandmother that is from Middle Tennessee, and she was kind of a domestic goddess, and she taught me how to crochet when I was 8 years old.
Nice.
And taught me how to sew, and really haven't set it down since then.
And so what was the turning point for you? When were you like, I'm going to start making a career out of this?
Well, I've been full-time, like no other source of income for nearly 6 years now. Yeah, but before that, I was kind of piecemealing, yeah. waiting tables, doing whatever I had to do. But I went to the Appalachian Center for Craft.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Awesome. I didn't know that. Now yeah. I like you even more.
Yeah, I love that place.
I got a lot of artists from the Appalachian Center for Craft, and I just absolutely love what they're doing.
It's amazing.
And what's amazing, too, is that I meet so many artists, and they come out of there, and they're all doing what you're doing.
Yeah.
I haven't met any that... Most of them that I work with are like mm-hmm. recently graduated,
yeah.
whereas you've been doing this for 6 years.
Yeah.
And so what you're doing right now is you're really inspiring people just to keep at it because you're not working a regular job.
Yeah.
You're doing what you love.
I have found that as long as I do the work, it all works out.
We're going to wrap up. Most important question is, how can people find you?
Okay. I'm primarily an online retailer. So if you Google Steph Barnes, I should pop right up.
Okay.
But so it's Steph Barnes Wearables on Etsy. And then I also partner with quite a few small businesses in the area. Like I said, Outdoor Experience. I'm at the gallery at the Appalachian Center for Craft. I'm at the Shumai Gallery at the Loveless Cafe in Nashville. I'm at Linen and Rust in Murfreesboro. Urban Mills in Lebanon. I feel like I'm missing some, but those
that's
are a few
impressive.
Places that you can find me.
That's really neat. Like, I'm
Thank you.
Really happy for you.
Thank
and
you.
And I wish you lots of success, and I really appreciate you coming on today.
Oh, well, I appreciate it, Emily. It was so nice to meet you. Thank you for having me.
All right.